So on Sunday mornings, we're in this series titled, What the Bible Says, and today, what the Bible says about being lion alert, In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 will be our text. Before we get into this message, I would just want to point out that next week, I'm going to preach the final lesson in this series, and it's titled, What the Bible Says About Transgenderism. And it's a very, very important lesson. And I'm just going to say right now that what's going on in our culture is spiritual. All right? Satan is behind what's going on in our culture. So we'll talk about that today as well. But it's a very important lesson. I hope you'll be here for that. And then the following week, we're going to start a study of the book of 1 John. So we're going to just work our way through that great New Testament book. I love the book of 1 John. So as we think about being lion alert, how many of you remember the song, The Lion Sleeps Tonight? You remember that song? Yeah. Goes like this. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. If Peter were the one that were penning the opening lines of that lyric, it would have sounded a little different. It would have sounded more like this. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion prowls tonight. You see, Peter doesn't have in mind a sleeping lion. He has in mind a stalking lion. He has in mind a lion who's seeking its prey. He seeks to devour you. He seeks to devour me. How many of you saw the movie, The Ghost in the Darkness? You see that? It happened in Kenya, and it was railroad workers, and these two male lions were terrorizing them. They'd be out working at night, and then you would hear a man screaming as the lions were taking him off into the darkness to devour him. It was a very frightening movie. If you've seen it, it's frightening. What a great movie, because see, that's the picture that Peter wants you to have, not the sleeping lion, but a prowling lion, a lion who seeks to devour. That's the picture that he wants you to have. And so this morning, I want us to observe three actions that will help us to avoid becoming prey to the lion who seeks to devour us. So number one, we must recognize him. We must recognize him. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, be alert. I mean, pay attention to those terms. He says, be alert, the adversary, the devil. You see, Peter says we need to recognize our enemy, the devil. We need to be perceptive. I said a few moments ago, what's going on in our culture is spiritual. But how many of us see it? How many of us are perceptive enough to see that Satan is behind what's going on in our culture? D.L. Moody said, I believe in the devil because the Bible says so. Secondly, I believe in the devil because I've done business with him. And maybe you've done business with the devil. I know I have. You see, it's important that we are sober, that we're alert, that we have our head in the game. Because Satan, he's a roaring lion prowling. But listen, he doesn't come with a t-shirt saying, hi, I'm the devil. He's going to come as an angel of light, we're told. That's what 2 Corinthians tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He's not going to appear as the devil. He's not going to appear as an enemy. He's going to appear as one of God's. That's how he's going to show up. He will be a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's what the Bible tells us. And so what do we know about the devil? Well, we know a lot. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, we are not ignorant of his devices. In other words, we know our enemy and we know how he operates. We know everything we need to know about him. And that's what Peter is continuing to give us additional information. Paul, over in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, I'm not going to deal with it in any detail at all because we've dealt with it in the past, and I've talked about this in time past, but we do know some things about the devil. We know he's a schemer, right? We know he's a strategist, a planner. Secondly, we know he's spiritual, so he's not physical. Another reason to be perceptive and to be sober and get your mind in the game, because you don't see him physically. He's invisible, but he's working. And he's working right in your presence. And by the way, I know there's a devil because of the evidences. I know there's a God because of evidences. The creation testifies that God is. The creation shows the handiwork of God, so I can look at the creation and know that there's a God. I can look at the evil in the world and know that there's a devil. There are evidences that support that. He is strong, right? He's exceptionally strong. And then lastly, I want to point out, he's supported. He has a whole host of demons, fallen angels, who assist him in his work of evil in the world. And he's doing a mighty fine job. And so we have a tendency to be complacent rather than vigilant. And that's why Peter comes along and he shouts, "Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil." And so he doesn't want us to become complacent. He wants us to be vigilant. He wants us to be aware. 20 times in the New Testament, we are told to be alert. In other words, God says, get your head in the game. In Revelation 12, we're told the devil has come down having great wrath because he knows his time is short. Because he knows his time is short, he's going to do the greatest amount of evil in the shortest amount of time possible. That's what he's doing. And by the way, Revelation 20 presents a picture of Satan here, where he gathers together this great army. And this is at the end. This is toward the end of times. And he comes out against God and the people of God. And God destroys him. So I believe there's a time coming of unparalleled evil in the world. I think it's this time when Satan gathers together and it's one last ditch effort to conquer God's people. And then God's going to rain fire from heaven and destroy the devil, and that will be the end of him. But I believe there's a time coming of unparalleled evil, and we may be in that time now. And so, who has seen these words? Vigilance is the price of freedom. And that it is. Do not let your guard down. That's what Peter's saying. Be sober, be vigilant, be perceptive. You see, we remember Pearl Harbor. What happened? They weren't ready. They were complacent. And they got bombed. And they got sunken ships. We cannot become complacent. We must always be vigilant and aware and be alert, because Satan can attack at any time. We must be aware that he prowls around like a roaring lion. And we have to recognize that, or we will become his prey. And so it is up to you. But secondly, we must respect him. We must respect him. That is what he's capable of. All right? Respect him because he's dangerous. The devil is dangerous. He prowls around, Peter says, as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The devil has great power. He has intelligence, a whole host of demons who support him in his work of evil. And so we must never, ever ignore him or underestimate his ability. Because if we do, we're going to be in trouble. You see, a man cannot be an electrician very long if he doesn't respect the power in those wires, right? If you don't respect that power, it can take your life. I've had some encounters with that power in the past. As a young boy, one time we had a toaster. The toast wouldn't always get jammed in there. And so I got the bright idea of getting a fork. I stuck that fork down in there, and man, I'll tell you, I let go quick. But you know, it jolted me. And then I had the bright idea. And I'm going to tell you this. But I'm around 6 or 7, okay? So keep that in mind. This wasn't last week, all right? I decided I wanted to make an electric car. But I didn't know that you had to have an electric motor to have an electric car. So I had this little Jeep-like red vehicle, and it had a little bumper hitch on the back. So I took a wire, cut the end of it, wrapped that wire around the back of the car, and plugged it in to see it run. Yeah, the whole house went dark. Yeah, and again, that stuff can kill you. And so as an electrician, they respect that power. Guarantee you they respect the power. If they don't, they'll lose their life. If you don't respect the power of Satan, you can lose your soul. You better realize what he's capable of. It's very important here. Martin Luther said, "A mighty fortress is our God. His craft and power are great. Armed with cruel hate on earth, it's not his equal." You see, Satan wants to devour you. That's what he wants more than anything. Do not underestimate his ability. We don't need to tremble before him, but we do need to respect what he's capable of. Remember Peter? Remember Peter? Jesus told Peter, "Peter, you're going to deny me." And what did Peter do? "Oh no, Lord, I won't deny you. These folks may deny you, but I never will deny you." And then Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went into the garden, a little space, and Jesus says, "Watch and pray." And what did Peter do? Went to sleep. What happened? He fell. He denied Jesus. Exactly what Jesus said was going to happen, happened. Why? He wasn't watching and praying. He wasn't alert. He didn't have his head in the game. You see, respect him. Be aware that he's extremely dangerous. And his objective, according to Jesus, is threefold. To steal, to kill, and destroy. That's John 10:10. That's what he seeks to do. You need to recognize that, and you need to respect him. And then thirdly, we must resist him. James says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." And we know that this is true. We see the example of this in Matthew 4 when Jesus is tempted and he resists. And the Bible says, and the devil left him. And of course, he waited for a more opportune time and he came back. And that's what we always need to keep in mind. We resist him now. Listen, he'll be back later. He may be back in an hour, all right? Or one of his demons or angels. So we have to be careful. In 1 Peter chapter 5, look again with me. Look at verse 8 and 9. Notice what he says. I mean, these words. "Be sober. Be vigilant." Why, Peter? "Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Resist him, Peter says, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced in your brotherhood in the world. And so here Peter is talking about suffering. And so these Christians are tempted in their suffering. Temptation results in, or suffering results in temptation. All right, so when we suffer, a host of temptations can emerge. And that's what Peter is warning us about. What temptations? Well, when you suffer, when something happens in your life, what's your immediate response a lot of times? Now, it should be to go to God and ask his help. But many occasions, we want to withdraw because we're a little put out by God. That he didn't do what I want the way I want it. And so I'm mad at God. And so there's a tendency to sort of pull back a little bit, which is wrong, which you don't want to. That's the worst thing you can do in your suffering, is pull away from God. He's the one who's going to help you and get you through. Why on earth would you ever pull away? But we do. there's a real temptation and a desire to have ill will and hard feelings toward God when God doesn't do what we ask Him to do. And when we're struggling, when life is hard, when we're suffering, and there's also the temptation for doubt to come in. Maybe there isn't a God. Maybe He really doesn't care about me or love me. And so then we begin to question the character of God. So it's always a dangerous thing whenever we're suffering, because that invites a whole host of temptations. You could certainly develop a sermon titled Suffering and a Side of Temptation, right? Because that's exactly what Peter's talking about. And so in their temptation, they're struggling. Life is hard. These Christians are going through a time of persecution. And so there's all these temptations that they're dealing with. And so Peter's telling them how they can best handle this. And so suffering can get to us if we let it. It's easy to allow doubt to creep in. It's easy to question God's love. We just have to be very careful that we don't play that game. Don't allow Satan to discourage you. You stand strong. Believe in God. And know what God is going to do. Notice verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And so Peter encourages us to remember that we're not alone in our suffering, that God is with us, that God is present, and that God is there to help us. And he tells us in verse 10 that he's going to take all those challenges, all the suffering, all the hardship, all the difficulties, and he's going to make them work for you. It's the idea of being placed into a furnace. And you think about silver or gold, and it goes into the fiery furnace, and then they scrape the dross off, and they put it in again and scrape the dross off and put it in again and scrape the dross off. Each time the gold, the silver becomes a little more pure than the time before. And that's what God is doing in our lives. And there's going to come a time through all of what we suffer that the beauty of Jesus will be seen in you, if you allow it. If you allow God to do His work. Now, if you become discouraged and you pull away and you begin to doubt and you harbor ill will and hard feelings toward God, then that's not going to happen. But if you follow the plan and allow God to do His work, He will use this so that the beauty of Jesus will emerge in your life for all to see. So God is going to use all of our suffering and hardship to perfect us in Jesus Christ. And so today we've talked about how to be lion alert. We must recognize Him. All right. Number two, we must respect Him. And number three, we must resist Him. And then look at verses 5 and 6. So let's back up for just a moment. Verse 5 and verse 6, Peter says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you will be submissive to one another and clothed with humility. Notice, for God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. The thing I want to bring out here is, are you willing to humble yourself before God so that you can experience His grace in your life? That is, if you're not a Christian, the Bible says you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1. If you die in this state, you will be eternally separated from God. You have no hope. But God in Jesus Christ wants to redeem you. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. And that means you need to come to His Son, Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. If you've never humbled yourself and come to God seeking His grace in your life, I hope and pray you'll do that this morning as we stand and as we sing.